Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Two down, two to go. Welcome into hour three of Sports Talk here on WWL, AMFMN.com. Along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. I'm Christian Garrick. Scott Alexander at Master Control. Taking your calls on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text lines at 504-260-1870. Still plenty to come from Saints training camp. Me and Bobby's conversation with Marquez Callaway. Sat down one-on-one with second-year wide receiver who played a big role for the Saints down the stretch when they were dealing with injuries, in particular Michael Thomas. And we'll jump off there, Mark. Bobby. You feel like, what is the future for Michael Thomas? Where do you think he finishes his contract here in New Orleans?
Well, I'm going to keep it real what I think. Now, you could disagree, it's just my opinion. And listen, you don't become NFL Offensive Player of the Year if you don't have some kind of skill set. I think right place, right time, a combination of him and Drew Brees, I think he helped continue the legacy of Drew Brees, and Drew Brees helped him to be magnified. If you're a physical receiver and you have strong hands, you can catch the ball, you can have success. I think Michael Thomas, he is faster than a guy that I play with, Eric Martin, but very similar. Very physical with guys trying to cover them. But you know what? In traffic, they can catch the football. You might say, well, there's a lot of players that can do that. I would say, no, there isn't. There's not too many players that are tough enough that can accept the challenge. Now, look what Michael Thomas is getting paid. Much is given, much is required. So I'm going to read a couple of texts here, and I think it could maybe solidify my argument why Michael Thomas will not be part of the Saints long term and the value you might get for him if he's not part of the future. This is from 6818. Bobby, should the Saints trade Michael Thomas while we can get some value for him? He is a headache. Your honest thoughts. Okay. I think it would be more an opportunity leading into this next text from 7155. If Thomas comes back, Michael Thomas comes back and he balls out, do you think the Saints could get a first-round pick for him in a trade after this season? Yes. You would want, in theory, if you're the Saints, because what you're paying him, you want Michael Thomas to play at a high level, and then, because you know the background and all dealing with him and the whole team concept and all that, then you can get the value. But right now, value... what's the value? That's a long time ago, even though he was NFL Offensive Player of the Year. Christian, when you look, okay, his production last year, when are we going to see his production? October, beginning of October, middle of October? We don't know what's going to come about. So you'd want him to do awesome, and then you'd have the value you could maybe get in return a first-round draft pick for him. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I ultimately think if he goes back to that kind of production, maybe fences are mended. Maybe, you know, he stays in New Orleans. But if
stays in y'all, you mean Let me tell you that it's kind of like a sheep in wolf's clothing. I'll tell you what, he is very smart. Michael Thomas is very smart. He is a smart football player. He learned from his uncle Keyshawn. Throw me the damn ball. Now, Michael Thomas is trying to make it in the NFL. You come with Drew Brees. What in the hell is he going to tell Drew Brees? You know Nothing. What? Drew Brees is going to tell him.
Yeah.
This is the way it is, and this you want to be successful? You get over and I'll get you the ball. Now, you get a young quarterback.
Unestablished.
That might be the worst nightmare. Whether it's Taysom Hill, Jameis Winston, whatever.
Why do you think the Dolphins didn't want him? Tua's not established.
Yeah.
Tua. You want to corrupt your quarterback? He would pull that, I think, with Taysom and Jameis. He would try to pull that. Hey, I want the ball. I don't see it this way.
There's few and far between players of that level where that no matter what the coverage is, just throw it to me. No, you're going to get burned in the NFL in the long run if you just take that approach.
Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick, Sports Talk continues here on WWL.
Look, I can't speak for the past offenses. Obviously, I'm familiar with his role in New England, but I think the smooth transition comes with his football IQ and experience. So it's not uncommon when someone, even if the terminology was different, there's route trees that are similar, there's principles that are similar, but I think it's more credit to his overall football IQ.
That was Saints head coach Sean Payton talking about Chris Hogan, the newly acquired Chris Hogan. And we saw Bobby.
I agree with that 1,000%.
And you heard from him today.
Yeah, if you know the route tree and how to run routes and whether you could universally tell a receiver if you've been around, run a dig route. They would kind of naturally know, if you have somewhat intelligence, what the depth is and how you perceive it, whether you're running that versus zone or man coverage. You know, a corner route, an out route, a drag. I mean, there's a lot of common sense that if you've been around the game and you know the terminology, even though you might not know how plays are called in a particular system, that you can almost call a play and they'll say or run a dig route. And you kind of know the depth. Because it's not like certain teams, now it can fluctuate a few yards, but it's not like, okay, when you say run a dig route, I'm going to go 40 and in. I'm going 40 yards down the field and I'm cutting across. No, it's a 15 to 20 yard depth perception. Then you understand the offense more than you know what they want you to do. But it's in that range. Like if you're running an out route, it's not the old 7-step out route where you're going 20, 25 yards and running a comeback. At the most, it would be 20 come back to 18, or it'd be more like 5-step, 15 come back to 13. So all angles and all that. So if you're smart enough and you played a number of years like Chris Hogan, CJ or whatever it might be, you could break the huddle. And even though you're not familiar with a particular offense, how you call in plays until you get that where it's second nature, man, you know the route tree, you can figure that out and excel at a high level and not be like just running around like a chicken with their head cut off, don't know where they're going.
Did you know, aside from a couple of drops, Jameis Winston hasn't had an incompletion? I know those count, but I'm talking about just flat-out drops.
No, Jameis Winston looks like he's playing with a lot of confidence. He looks like the offense is becoming. It's not totally 100%, but he doesn't look lost. It looks like he is becoming where it is second nature. So, listen, I'm not worried about Jameis. I'm worried about all the other cats. People might say, like, oh, who's taking Drew Brees' place? I'm telling you. If we don't get off to a hot start, I've said this before. Oh, hey, Bear, you're a quarterback. You're just taking up for the quarterbacks. No, I'm telling you, too much of the glory could go to Jameis and too much of the blame. Whether it's Jameis Winston, Taysom Hill, right now I'm worried about all the other pieces. I'm not worried about the quarterback. So oh, you're replacing Drew Brees. No, I'm more worried about the other players.
So where would you rank your level of concern at the quarterback spot opposed to wide receiver, D-line, linebacker and corner.
It ain't even close. Quarterback would be the least of my concern over the wide receiver position and how they're going to step up if they got man-on-man coverage. Can you win or lose? Because I know they're going to freaking try and stop Alvin Kamara, whether you're playing them short and long, inside and out, double coverage and all that. So they're going to attack. Look, and we need to challenge our receivers to get open against one-on-one coverage. I'm not worried about the O-line. I'm telling you, I'm more worried about our wide receiving core and then a young that's part of the wide receiving core, Adam Trautman. How is he going to step up? Okay, Adam Trautman, if they had single coverage and about leverage, whether it's a linebacker or a safety, are you going to win? Well, hell yeah, you should win. You should win. It's one-on-one coverage. So I'm more worried. I'm not worried about our running game with the offensive line. I'm more in the passing game. But you know what could happen if you don't excel in the pass? You might say, well, we can't run block. You know why you can't run block? They got eight in the box. They got too many people. Oh, what's wrong with offensive line? There's nothing wrong with offensive line. It's because we're not complementing one another in the pass game to go with the run game. Now, defensively, I am more confident right now in our safeties. I'm not worried about Marcus Williams and Malcolm Jenkins. I'm not worried about that. Now, cornerbacks, hell yeah. I mean, I'm not worried about DeMario Davis, but who's going to help out in the DeMario Davis? I'm not worried about even our DNs, because I think Davenport's going to step up. We're going to have the right rotation with Cam Jordan. I'm worried about our D tackles. I'm worried about our cornerbacks. And then the other linebacker. So I would say I'd have more defensive concerns right now than even than I do offensively.
Do you think Marcus Williams has bulked up? He looks thicker up top.
I just think just because he's played so much and he has the ability and the talent, he's going to get better. Now, I don't know if you could justify
paying. Can you see the difference in his?
Yes. I don't know if you could justify paying him $14
million. Right.
Versus you getting 9, 10, 11 million. I mean, that's over my pay grade. How do you figure out what do you actually pay a top safety? Well, we talked to Malcolm Jenkins today. I'm telling you, Malcolm Jenkins and Marcus Williams, they're going to be even better this year because they played more alongside each other. I'm a worried about, like, when you're on an island. The safeties can only help so much. Come on, dog. You got to be a cornerback. You got to be. Listen, we worried about stopping this. You on an island. What are you going to do to excel at a high level? That bothers me more. And then the one thing we've kind of you take for granted as a fan, because you just watch the ultimate play and what occurs. And, boy, we got gash. We got gash that play. Oh, our linebackers aren't filling the hole. No. The linebackers would fill the hole, but our damn D-line is getting knocked back into the linebackers. They're not occupying blockers. They don't have to make tackles. They don't have to just do the dirty work like Malcolm Brown. That kind of cat, maybe, oh, I don't like his stats. But you know what? He's doing his job. He's occupying blockers, yeah. So the linebackers could flow and make tackles. So I would say right now, just compare, because we've been a little spoiled last season or previous seasons, is that I would be more concerned where we're at going into training camp. Now it's only 2 days. And the preseason and the regular season, more on the defensive side than the offensive side. You know why? Because we were amongst, if not the top three, Christian, we were top five run defense. Yeah. What? No, you want to run against the Saints? You ain't running against the Saints. Because then if you can run against the Saints, then you know what happens as a quarterback? You got experience? You do play action. Oh, then you're going backward, forward. You can't play downhill, or you can't trust what's happening up front. So that's why, to me, I'm more concerned with the defense. Can we stay at least be a top 10, top 12 defense? And they would obviously, come on, Dennis Allen, and the staff coach him up. Dennis Allen can call the same damn defenses that he knows works, but it's the hosses. Who's in there and who's not in there? Come on. Who can get the job done? Now, you might say coach them up, the talent. That's why it's a young man's league. No, it's a challenge for the Saints where they're at right now.
another defensive lineman that kind of stood out a little bit today for me, Jalen Dalton, second-year guy out of North Carolina. He was disruptive on a couple of
running plays. High motor, Christian. I'm glad you mentioned him. 2 years guy, great opportunity for him. He's with the Saints, University of North Carolina Tar Heels. High motor. They're going to give him opportunity.
Yeah, and again, the pads aren't on, but he was disruptive in a way you can be without the pads being on. Penetrating into the backfield, and I know that, you know, it's a lot of hand fighting, but still, that stuff matters.
Still, it's not he's going through the motions, the whole fraternity, country club, like
brother-in-law.
Brother-in-law, you kind of go through the motions and all. No, listen, I might be your friend, and we go have a beer or whatever after practice, but I'm trying to whip your ass.
I want a job.
Whether I have pads or not, I want the NFL to be my lifestyle.
Yeah,
I'm going hell bent for leather. That's the approach you got to take.
All right, he's Bobby. I'm Christian. We'll step away and come back. Still to come, more sound from Cam Jordan. Also, our one-on-one sit-down with wide receiver Marquez Callaway. Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick. This is Sports Talk here on WWL.
What do you mean this is year four? I told you guys early on, I think in OTAs, I said this is the year for him to turn the corner. This is the year for him to show out and show everything that he's accumulated the last three seasons. He's been plagued with some minor injuries that have kept him in and out of games, but the games he has played, he's shown great flashes. Now we need those flashes to be consistent. When we talk about being where we want to be, it takes a tandem. It takes, you know, defensive ends, left and right, to complete this thing. I think he's going to be just fine. I'm more aware of what we need to rally in terms of our interior line. We lost, you know, big Malcolm Brown. I think Sheldon Rankin's departure is going to be hard to replace, but we have young Roach. We've got Shy Tuttle. I think as a defensive line as a whole, I think we have enough to be a consistent force on our defense, and I think with the standards that we've had in our defense is a high one.
Saints defensive end, all-pro defensive end, Cam Jordan, taking stock of his defensive line.
I ain't worried about Cam Jordan. I'm worried about all the other cats.
You're worried about Davenport? This is a big year for him. He's got to do something.
No, listen. I think Davenport has the skill set to be unbelievable and to be worthy of where we drafted him, what we gave up. Now,
you remember on draft night when they traded up to get him? You remember my reaction? I was not in favor of him.
I remember because you said we gave up too much.
I just said I don't like giving up assets.
Yeah.
But I understand it. At the time, they were looking for that one player to put him over the hump.
No,
but
a rookie
to do that?
Well, what he needs to do, because now he's played long enough, because he has the capabilities. Do you say Trey Hendrickson has a better skill set than Marcus Davenport?
No.
But Trey Hendrickson, look at a magical season he got that he had last year. Well, Davenport could do that. Now you got to stay healthy and you got to go produce. You got to go do it. Okay, potential's enough. Enough of that potential crap. I mean, it's like now you're enough in the league. Then Marcus Davenport got to go out and do it. And I think he has that ability. I mean, Christian, you're going on your fourth year and they got a lot invested in you. What they gave up, you're going back to the 2018 draft. And Cam Jordan knows that. Cam Jordan says, no, I know Davenport can do it. But then you got to do it for a season. You have to be able to do that and contribute at a high level for a season.
Marcus Davenport spoke to the media the other day. I'll pull up a couple bites. But, you know, one of the things about him is, for one, he's different. And what I mean by that is his personality is really interesting. I think he's a big reader. You would appreciate that, Bobby.
He has a great supporting cast. I think his family, the people around him, they support him.
He's very smart, very intelligent, and just a little different. I don't know how to describe him. I don't want to call him a nerd.
He would be a player now. I'm going to be a couch psychologist. He would be the type of player, if he didn't have a supporting cast, could be in a funk and could get really depressed because of the expectations. But because he does have a supporting cast, he feels healthy. Mm-hmm. He feels like I can handle all the adversities could in my life, which is a good thing. Now, it depends what lifestyle you want. If you want generational wealth and all that from a football perspective, then you got to go kick ass. The bottom line, you have to go out there and truly parlay where you were drafted in that second contract and put up the numbers like a Trey Hendrickson. What if Marcus Davenport would have put up the numbers of Trey Hendrickson? Would you say 2018, oh, we gave up too much on Marcus Davenport?
No.
You wouldn't even be saying that.
Nah,
come on.
Chance.
No, you look at where Trey Henderson was drafted, how he produced.
Whoa, third round.
But what a great find. Oh, but look at that diamond in the rough.
Here's the thing, though, about Trey Henderson. I understand free agency. The big theme is always guys get overpaid, right?
Right.
But one of the things the Saints have been – I think pretty good at is not buying the 1 year wonders.
Yeah, the one hit wonders. Yeah, yeah.
You know,
without a doubt.
They're good at, and look, the Bengals, good on Trey Henderson. I'm not hating on him, but the Bengals just paid a player that has done it for 1 year, where the Saints look at the entire body of work.
Well,
consistency.
Listen, I'm for the players. I hope Trey Henderson kicks ass with the Bengals because I'm for the players.
Sure.
How can you not be for a player that left it all on the field last season to get it done at a high level? And so why wouldn't I want him to continue to succeed and build on that confidence after the 2020 season? Listen, I like Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase. I'm like, how can you hate the Bengals? Who hates the Bengals? Unless you're from Cleveland or like Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
How can you not be a Joe Burrow and Bengals fan? I mean, I hope Trey Henderson does awesome. Because I think he's going to be more confident. Now, much is given, much is required. They paid him. So he's got a lot of pressure on him. So I hope he succeeds.
Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text lines are open at 504-260-1870. Tomorrow, Bobby and I will be on the air at 3 o'clock, 3 to 6 p.m., recapping day 3 of Saints training camp. And then on Monday, the pads go on. Much different than your training camps, right? Day 1, you guys had – y'all were on pads 2 days, right?
Well, you might have had maybe one day that you weren't in pads, but no, it changes. You know, they had when I always say this: when 2 days originally got invented, is because players didn't train year round in their particular city. So you had really 2 days was invented to get the team in shape. They had off season jobs, but now the money's so ridiculous. Why in the hell you need an off season job?
Your job is to train.
It's in your best interest. You have to train year-round. If not, you go by the wayside. So I'm not hating on that. That's just how the game has progressed. So, Christian, no, but it is different with the pads. It is not necessarily maybe a little extra weight for the skilled people, defensive backs, receivers, and all, but it's the linemen.
Mm-hmm.
Now that you might see more one-on-one, hand-to-hand combat with offensive defensive line, it's just – listen, even though you think you could be aggressive without the pads, you just tend to turn it up a notch. It's not a preseason game, but you're constantly being evaluated, or a regular season game, but you have the pads on. So, you know what the coaches always yell when you have the pads on? What they always say, Joe Vitt was famous for this, stay up. Listen. That might have been Coach Vitt's words that he said, not even coaching, when everybody's flying around almost every play. Stay up, stay up, stay off the ground, stay off the ground. Keep your feet, be mobile, hit high. You don't want no cheap blocks.
Yeah, they want thud.
You want a thud head-to-head. Now, I don't know how good that is for when you're constantly banging heads, because you could stay up and still – tattoo one another, head to head.
Tony Jones Jr. I thought had a rough day.
He struggled.
Running back.
Here was a guy that last year seen him in training camp. Why wasn't he drafted? I look at Tony Jones Jr. He's number 37 out of Notre Dame. Christian. There's a lot of competition. I'm not even worried about the running back position. We'll be fine there. I'm telling you, we have a lot of depth. We're fine. I thought that, I think on one play he dropped the pass. Even though it's a little behind him, come on, hit your hands, you got to catch it. I don't care if it's Taysom or Jameis, whatever, catch the ball. Then he caught one pass, and this is who I'm very high on. Okay, let me tell you. I don't care where you come from, and the Saints coaches know this, is Andrew Dowell. Now, they want the draft pick to work out, but Andrew Dowell, number 50, from Michigan State. He's on the practice squad last year, like a one-year guy. I want to recall, if I can recall, said that he was in Dallas's camp before he came to the Saints. Christian, he can run. Even we talked to DeMario Davis, he gave him a nickname. I don't even know, but I knew who he was talking about. Number 50 from Michigan State. So you might say Caden Ellis, Zach Bond, Pete Warner. I don't know. Let me tell you. Andrew Dow, he goes, man, I can freaking hang with them cats. But then you got to go do it day in and day out. You got to do it in practice. You got to do it in a preseason game. Well, today, you know what he did in practice? All of a sudden, he's right there in coverage. Tony Jones catches the ball. He's along the sidelines. Oh, I'm just going to step out of bounds. He hustled, and I'm telling you, punched out that ball. That'd have been a fumble. He didn't get out of bounds.
He was already out of bounds.
No, he wasn't, Chris. He was on the border. Come on, hate.
You know, I'm telling you, I took notice. He was out of bounds. But that's the defensive rules. There, until the whistle pretty much is blown or until you have to go back to the huddle.
I like the effort. I'm calling that a fumble.
Okay, fine, but he was out of bounds,
clearly.
I'm
calling it a fumble. So what is the running back coach going to tell Tony Jones?
Protect the football. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No, they compete.
I like that hustle.
I do, too.
And I can tell you right now, alongside DeMario Davis, God forbid some ever – don't say that, A-Bear. What are you talking about? Knock on wood. Oh, nothing never happens to DeMario Davis. Paul, you want to talk about a warrior.
A physical specimen.
And leading the team.
He came over – there was a play that ended by us, and I'm still – look, all these guys are giants. Most of them are giants. But just if you're designing a linebacker in a lab, you would shoot out – DeMario Davis in terms of how he looks.
If you look at a player, they can run in a style. Look at their behind. And they have that booty that is like bubble. You know, it ain't flat and ain't wide, but it's just built to run. DeMario Davis, Christian, and I can evaluate a physical specimen. And DeMario Davis is built how you want to be built to be a linebacker to be able to run. I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
That is something like, boy, I'll tell you what, that bubble butt he got, that's what you want to work with those hamstrings, to work with those quads, to be able to all go hand in hand to be able to run. Now, Christian, is that wrong to say that is true? Scouts look at that. You know, I'm telling you.
I'm sure.
Scouts look at that.
Their physique and how they're built, for sure.
Yes. How you go to the combine. And they make you in your underwear walk in front of them. Like it's a cattle auction or something.
Yeah.
Oh, and then they look at, look at Tom Brady had an ugly body, but he don't have an ugly mind. You look above the shoulders.
Right.
Where he was at. But, Christian, I can tell you right now that the one linebacker, more than even Zach Bond, considering where he was drafted, or even more than Pete Warner, I want to see more of him, maybe alongside of DeMario Davis, Caden Ellis. You know, now you have injuries or you don't have injuries. 3-year guy out of Idaho. He was drafted in the 7th round. But Christian, 6'2", 240 pounds. I would say Zach Bond and the rookie, Pete Warner, they ain't ahead of Caden Ellis.
No, and look, one of the things before, remember his rookie year, he tore his ACL, Caden Ellis I'm talking about.
Right.
One of the things that they talked about with him, and this is where I think Craig Robertson comes into play. Craig Robertson not being on this roster because they feel like Caden Ellis can fulfill that role.
Could be that
on
guy.
Special teams. And not to mention, they love his football IQ. They love his football IQ. I mean, he's off the charts when it comes to football IQ. Well, so I think that gives him a chance.
Between his dad, his brother, and all that, he's like football 24/7. It's just a lifestyle. Now you got to stay healthy again to be available and to be held accountable.
He's Bobby. I'm Christian. Sports Talk continues here on WWL.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.